You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
We're going to close off the 15th chapter of Yevamot, and we've been going through questions about reliability of evidence, and particularly reliability of the evidence of a woman who's testifying about her husband or about her relatives. Interestingly, by the way, we are going to close the chapter with a final comment about the reliability of a man. So maybe that says something about the rabbi's scale of values, that having established, we are establishing that very often, in most cases, a woman's testimony is reliable. But right at the end of the chapter, we point out a number of instances where a man's testimony is absolutely not reliable. So we'll see where that goes. But let's jump in. Let's jump in for the moment in the ninth chapter. And we'll see a scenario that we've seen before. So, but it can't hurt to go over it again. And the Mishnah, in Yevamot seems to like to go over scenario after scenario. That seems to be the teaching style here. So it says, Nitan li ven bi medinat hayam. So I went to some foreign country, and I had a baby boy. Amra, and then she says, Meit b'ni v'char kach meit bali. So my son died, and afterwards my husband died. And we believe her. We believe her to that extent. That means, by the way, the husband's died childless, so she now requires yibum. But aliva charkach meit bini. If she said my husband died and after that my son died, eina ne'emenet, we don't believe her. So at this point, somehow we're anxious. We're anxious that maybe she doesn't like her yabam, or for some reason she doesn't want to do yibum. Choshashin ledvareha. We are anxious about her words. Choletzet velo mit yabemet. Lo mit yabemet. She performs chalitza, but she doesn't perform yibum. So we take care in case she's liable for yibum, but we don't actually make her perform yibum. She performs chalitza. So she's on the safe side. She essentially emerges a bit like a, I suppose, with the status of a divorce, woman, but she's free to marry any man, just as if she would have been. She's free to marry any man. Nitan li yavam bi medinat hayam. A brother-in-law was given to me in a country beyond the sea. This is a really interesting case. So it sounds like her mother-in-law had another baby. Because if she, if she acquired a brother-in-law, her husband acquired a baby brother. So so she's of marriageable age, but her mother-in-law is still producing children. Amra, mate bali avachar kach mate yivami. So my husband died, and afterwards my brother-in-law died. Or maybe she says, Yivami v'char kach ba'ali. Maybe she says, look, my brother-in-law died, and afterwards my husband died. So in neither case is she liable to Yibum. And the Mishnah rules, ne'emenet, she's believed. Halchahi uvala. And why is she believed? Well, when she went abroad, she didn't have this brother-in-law. So the starting assumption of the Mishnah is, look, that when she went abroad, she had no brother-in-law. So her starting position is that she had no brother-in-law. The brother-in-law only exists because she's told us that the brother-in-law exists. So if we believe her that the brother-in-law existed, then we must believe her when she said that the brother-in-law has died. Yeah, we can't believe her for one issue and not believe her for the other issue. So we believe her, she's free to marry any man. So the woman and her husband and her brother-in-law went to a foreign country. So now we know when they set off that the brother-in-law exists. So this is a different situation. If you like, the base assumption is that the brother-in-law is alive. Amrush, she says, she comes back and says, "Mate Bali, my husband died. V'charkach mate Yivami, my husband died, and afterwards my brother-in-law died." In other words, she was liable for Yibum when her husband died, but she's no longer liable because her brother-in-law is now dead. Or the other way around too, Yivami v'charkach Bali, my brother-in-law died, and then my husband died. So when my husband died, she was never liable for Yibum because the brother-in-law was no longer alive at that point. In other words, this case started with a knowledge that the brother-in-law existed. And she comes back without her husband, claiming that she's free of any ties to Yibum. And the Mishnah rules, Eina ne'menet. We don't believe her. Because we don't believe a woman when she asserts, "My brother-in-law is dead," in order to get married. Similarly, we wouldn't allow her to testify, "My sister has died," in order to, well, the Mishnah says to enter her house. But what the Mishnah is getting at is to marry her brother. So maybe she dislikes her brother and she wants to marry someone else. Maybe she loves the brother-in-law and wants to get rid of her sister. And we don't believe her in either case. And the Rambam explains, I brought the Rambam at the foot of the source sheet. I mean, we've already learned that the rabbis are keen to avoid any danger of agunot when they can. So we do believe a woman when she testifies as a sole witness that her husband is dead. And the Rambam explains in Hilchot Yibum V'Chalitza, third chapter, 11th Mishnah. He explains, Afal pi she'aisha ne'menet lomar meit bali v'tinaseh, or teach your ben. Even though we believe a woman's testimony with regard to the death of her husband, and so she can marry, she can perform Yibum, we don't actually accept the testimony of a sister-in-law with regard to the death of her Yavam, her brother-in-law. And it's not considered to be a sufficient basis for her to marry another man. Because the Rambam says, Vehu Isur Lav, it's just marrying your kind of either marrying a stranger when you need to perform chalitza with your brother-in-law, or marrying your brother-in-law when your sister's around. It's just a negative prohibition. And we're afraid, the Rambam concludes, Shema yekal b'eneha. We know that a woman will take the death of a husband and the possibility of getting married twice by marrying somebody else. We know she'll take that incredibly seriously, because getting married to two people is a disastrous act. But according to the Rambam, he says, look, we're not certain that, you know, marrying or not marrying a brother-in-law is quite on the same level. And so perhaps we don't believe that people will take testimony quite as seriously in that situation. And the Mishnah concludes that clearly is aware of some kind of psychological truth here when he's, when she says, look, gosh, a woman might want to pretend that her sister is dead in order to get involved with her brother-in-law. So there's some psychological truth there. And this is mirrored right at the end of the Mishnah, which declares, and this is the end of the chapter, so we're going to close the chapter on this warning. V'eina ish ne'emar. A man is not believed. Lomar meit achi, when he states, my brother is dead. Sheyabem ishto, so that he can have yibum with his wife. He's not believed when he says, my brother is dead, in order that he can marry his brother's wife. Velo meita ishti, and he's not believed if he says, my wife is dead. Sheyisa et achuta, in order that he may marry her sister. The men are not trusted in terms of relationships, illicit relationships with their close relatives, and their testimony is not going to be accepted.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah podcast with Benedict.